Hosanna! The King has come. Glory to the King who has come. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Glory to the King who has come and who is to come. Simon is my name. I can't help but sing hosannas. For you see, I was a follower of Jesus, but I was not one who early on believed in His message. I'm Simon. The town is Cana. Perhaps you have heard of it. It is where a wedding took place. But it is also a place that had an underside, if you would. And I was a part of that, hoping to bring about the kingdom of God. Some know me as the zealot. And perhaps that is correct, because I was a zealot. But you see, it's also from where I came. For Cana means to be zealous. Many people associated it with happy times and happy places, and yet there were many of us who lived in Cana, who were part of that movement looking for the kingdom of God on earth, to reestablish the reign of God upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And so, yes, I admit, I was one of those. I was a zealot. I was part of that cause. We were hoping ever so much that the King would come, that would lead us in battle to defeat the Romans, to return to glory once again, never, never to be oppressed by another nation. In fact, actually, I was part of a subgroup within our order of zealots. We had groups all over the country. One of my brothers you may have heard of even more than I, a man from Kerioth named Judas, who was also one of my fellow zealots. But I was part of a smaller group even within that group. We were known as the Sicarii, the dagger men, for we carried a short, double-edged dagger under our cloaks. We were committed that if we had an opportunity to kill one of the Roman soldiers occupying our land and to escape, then we would do it. And so as I went through the marketplace in Cana and other places, I was constantly looking for opportunities to catch a Roman soldier off guard and then slip back into the crowds. One way or another, God was going to hear us and bring about that kingdom. After all, did not the prophet say that I will restore your fortunes and I will slay your enemies? And so that fueled our intentions. For you see, God had said it. God had said it. And then one day, this teacher, a rather uncommon-looking man by the name of Jesus, we knew him as Joshua, came and began teaching in our town. He was talking about a coming kingdom. He was talking about a kingdom of God that would rule and reign with justice and righteousness. And so when he looked at me in a way that I felt moved, I followed him. I followed him thinking, ah, now we have a leader. And I kept my little dagger close, looking for any opportunity that I had to help him rise and to sit on that throne of David once again. For you see, he kept preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And in my mind and the mind of my fellow zealots, that meant the armies would rise and Rome would fall. After several months of following him and seeing things that he did, things that I never imagined, I saw lepers healed. I saw blind men see again. I even saw him raise someone from the dead. And I began to wonder, just what kind of man is this that I'm following? Perhaps the kingdom is going to come more quickly and greater than I had imagined. And so I kept my dagger sharpened. But the more time went along, the more I heard him speaking of a kingdom where there was justice. And as I thought, justice. He began talking about that justice not as judgment, but rather as treating people fairly and justly and with righteousness and compassion. I must admit to you, I had some doubts. Perhaps I had followed the wrong person. I thought we were going to destroy the Romans. And yet, something within his words and within his very spirit seemed to compel me to continue to follow. There were times that I wanted to ask questions and say, when will you bring about the kingdom? But I, a zealot who would not hesitate to kill a Roman in public, found myself strangely unable to gain the courage to ask those questions. And so as time went along over nearly 3 years, I began to think, perhaps the kingdom he is bringing is not what I had thought. Occasionally, I would slip away from the group and meet with brothers of mine who would ask me questions about him. And eventually, I began to say, maybe there is something different about his kingdom. Maybe he has a different kind of power to bring. And then I remember one day. One day we were entering Jerusalem just prior to the Passover. Everyone was excited. Just a short time before, he had raised a man from the dead who had been dead for 4 days. And Lazarus came out of the tomb and was healthy. We were all abuzz. All 12 of us, along with a large throng of people around. Jesus sent us into a nearby town to bring, of all things, a young donkey on which no one had ever sat, for him to ride into Jerusalem and ride up the Temple Mount. I began to wonder, what kind of king? Because as we went along and he sat on this donkey, people began crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. And then it dawned on me, David rode a royal donkey. And here we were entering Jerusalem just before Passover. What better time for him to come out and to show everyone just who he was? And the Romans would flee. Suddenly those thoughts that I had suppressed for almost 3 years began to well up. And as we went through the city gates, crying, Hosanna, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heavens. I pulled off my cloak even and laid it on the ground, pledging my honor and my commitment even more to what he was to bring. I was ready not just to stab a Roman and run away. I was ready to die for him if necessary. Things reached a fever pitch as some of the religious leaders began to cry out to him and tell him, "Tell these people to be quiet." And Jesus said, "If I were to do that, even the stones around would cry out." And then we went into the temple. I thought our crowd was loud. But when we got to the temple, we couldn't even hear ourselves because everything was so loud. But I will tell you this, it wasn't loud because of prayers. There were money changers exchanging money. There were merchants selling goods. There were farmers and sheep herders and goatsmen selling all kinds of animals. They were crying out to the tops of their lungs to get people to come and to buy their animal for a price. And the people who were there were crying out and complaining that the prices were too expensive. "You're just overinflating them because it's Passover. Well, you need an animal, so you got to pay." The noise just kept getting louder and louder and louder. Suddenly, Jesus untied a rope, like mine, from around his waist. And he began to weave it back and forth. And I wondered, what is he doing? Without warning, he ran over to the table of a money changer and flipped it over. Then he ran to another one and turned it over, and money was scattering everywhere. And the crowds started scrambling for the money. And then he started turning the animals loose. And as the merchants tried to approach him, he simply looked at them. They stopped. He continued to let them go. He even took animals away from people who had already bought them and turned them loose. One of the religious leaders demanded him stop. And he turned and looked straight at that Pharisee and pointed his finger and said, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." It became this quiet. Suddenly, it became this quiet. Jesus turned and walked out of the temple area. And we followed. And gradually, as we began going through the court of women and through the court of Gentiles, we could hear some of those merchants and others begin to cry out after him, calling him names, demanding that he come back and make restitution. And we left the city. I was glad, because suddenly the short dagger I had didn't seem like it would be worth very much if we were attacked. That night, Jesus began to talk with us again about his suffering, that he was going to die, but that the kingdom that he was bringing would be one that eventually would overshadow all other kingdoms on earth and would bring peace, not a sword, would bring righteousness and grace, not hatred. That night, I pulled out my dagger and I looked at it and placed it on the ground at his feet and told him, "Master, I will do anything anything that you wish to help bring about this kingdom. I was zealous for the kingdom to come. And yet in that zealousness, my ideas were misplaced. I came to learn that His kingdom is one that changes not from the outside, but changes from the inside. That changes the way I viewed people. Now, don't get me wrong. I will tell you that when He was arrested that night in the garden, that I was so angry. But I also have to admit that I too fled, looking for my little dagger, which wasn't there any longer. When the crowds began to cry to crucify Him, I didn't stand up. I hid and kept my mouth shut and just prayed and prayed and prayed to God, "Oh God, don't let them find me." And I too was among those who did not believe that He had come back from the dead. When Mary came and told us, I went, just another hysterical woman. But then He came. He came, and I saw Him. And as I wept in His presence, He looked at each one of us, even at me, and said, "Peace. My peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." I made many mistakes in my life even after that. But every opportunity I had to talk with someone, even a Roman soldier, I gave it to them. The news that the King has come and His kingdom's power is love and grace and giving. I often wonder how many more are like me, that are zealous for certain things as long as they are our way, but who need to lay down the dagger, lay down the spirit and commitment, and let peace reign first within your heart, so that the kingdom of peace can prosper as others' hearts find peace. Be zealous for the kingdom of God is one of justice and righteousness and grace. Oftentimes I find myself being zealous about some things that perhaps are not as important as they seem at the time. You may or may not find yourself in that kind of position. Simon was forever known as Zealotes, the zealot. We know very little of him after the crucifixion, resurrection. Some church traditions talk about churches that he started. What we do know is that somewhere along the way, that one who was zealous for helping to establish the kingdom of God his way was changed and sought to establish the kingdom of God in ways that only God desired. Not through the sword or abusive power, but rather through grace, through justness, and through mercy. A tall, tall order and challenge for him. A zealot. But perhaps sometimes it's even a taller order for we who have been raised in the tradition. The challenge for me is to try to be open to that call of commitment to justness and righteousness and grace. Some days I do okay, others not. But Jesus didn't create perfect people. Jesus brings his perfection through our inadequacy to accomplish good. And so as we stand and as we sing together in a moment, hymn number 617, Near to the Heart of God, may God be near our hearts in such a way that we are zealous, not in an in-your-face kind of way, but that we are zealous with grace and peace and understanding so that others may get near the heart of God. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 617, Near to the Heart of God, we will stand and we will sing about the quiet rest that we can have, even in the middle of our own zealousness. Hymn number 617.